AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
And a good morning to you. Alec and Carl right here on AM 910 WJCW. Dr. Dean Baird joining us here on this Monday morning. Good morning, Dr. Dean.
Good morning, Carl and Alec.
Dr. Dean here.
Got those lips taken. Is in here that I can't see. I think that's it.
I believe so.
Got those lips all waxed up, ready to go.
There you go. Yeah.
Nothing like waxy lips to get started.
That's Halloween. Wait a minute now. Dr. Dean comes to us, of course, from his clinic, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program. And so we turn around here, and we're now into winter officially. Unofficially.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we got 2 and
December in my mind. December 1 starts winter.
I think
winter.
December in most people's minds is winter.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, anyway.
Weather winter, not calendar winter.
Exactly. So you wanted to talk today
about a little bit about, not necessarily about winter, but about cold weather.
And our pets.
And pets, and not one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have done some of this before, meaning we've talked about, well, for example, before the Tennessee legislature passed a law that antifreeze had to have a bittering agent in it, we talked about antifreeze a lot.
Right.
It's such a common problem. Thank goodness that has really changed the face of antifreeze toxicosis, because antifreeze has ethylene glycol, which is sweet.
Right.
So it means pets will drink it, or in the case of a cat, all they got to do is actually just lick it up off the pavement and get enough to die. But since the company's now put a bittering agent in it, we see very few cases because they won't drink it.
That's remarkable. Do you know that's nationwide now?
It's a state thing for Tennessee, so
it should.
I don't know that there's a federal law. I haven't heard about it. It'd be good, but those things are usually left to states.
Yeah.
There also is a type of antifreeze that has propylene glycol in it.
Mm-hmm.
That is not toxic.
Okay.
But I don't really know to what degree that product is sold versus the ones that are traditional ethylene glycol with bittering agents, but it really is kind of moot because it's the result of all that is that is a much less frequent toxicosis than it used to be.
Right.
And that's a good thing because antifreeze causes irreversible kidney failure and death in dogs and cats. So I mentioned that just to mention it and to say that's one of the cold weather things that we had talked about before. Along the chemical line, we've also talked about those chemicals that are used to melt ice and snow.
Mm-hmm.
They can be toxic. They can be actually very irritating just to the skin and foot pads.
Mm-hmm.
If dogs and cats get into them, probably more dogs out there in them than the cats. So I don't know that I've seen a case of something with a really bad chemical burn from that, but it is an irritant.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are irritants, depending on what the chemicals are.
And the animal generally, as you said, brings it in on their pads and quite often will want to gnaw or lick.
So I think the thing to remember about that is if you're going to, first of all, read what's in the product that you've got.
Right.
See if it can be an irritant. Try to find something else if you can. If you can't, then I think if you've got a dog out there walking in, you need to wash your paws off when you get done.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So that the stuff doesn't have a chance to start to be an irritant.
Mm-hmm.
Chemical. That's mostly what I had in mind about chemicals. We had talked one time about things that are toxic around Christmas time, like a mistletoe. I don't know if I've ever seen a case of a toxicosis from mistletoe because most pets won't eat it.
Yeah, most of the mistletoe I see nowadays are plastic.
Yeah, and then you just got the same old thing of eating a piece of plastic.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
and then you're right, Alec, people just don't go out and shoot mistletoe out of a tree like they used to, apparently, and they're not seeing that much of it. Now, the temperature is what I really wanted to talk about because cold temperatures does do some funky things with pets. And you think, well, what's so funky about it being cold? Well, the first thing is that some people think that if it's cold, pets don't need as much water.
I never heard that.
Which is very counterintuitive to what's reality. And also, if it's real cold, whether they need it or not, they're not going to get it because it's frozen if they're outside.
Right.
So that's the first thing is try to keep your head screwed on and realize if pet's outside, you're going to have to make sure the water is thawed so they can drink it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons that we had at one time worried so much about pets drinking antifreeze and other things because they couldn't get their regular water source.
Oh, okay.
And antifreeze, of course, is not going to freeze.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and if it's
right.
sitting out in a container, whether it's mixed with water or whether it's not, they're going to drink it.
Yep.
And that still could happen, but not so much because of the reasons that we talked about.
Exactly.
So we see fewer pets, dogs in particular these days, that stay outside all the time than we used to.
Mm-hmm.
But for the ones that do, or they're outside a majority of the time, then there are two things about that topic. You got to keep the water from being frozen, and they're going to have more calories to stay warm.
Okay.
Meaning
right.
they really need to eat more if they're outside most of the time, unless, I mean, particularly if they're very active, burning some off like
right.
working dogs would be.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to be fed more than normal. And that's really just kind of common sense, but sometimes common sense isn't all yeah. that common. And then the next thing about the temperature thing is, this is a little bit of a phenomenon. When we talked about heat stroke, actually I've done that more than once, I had made the comment that debilitated and sick animals are more prone to suffer from heat stroke than healthy ones are.
Logically, that would follow.
It would. And it also is the same about cold weather, meaning that animals that are outside primarily, because if they're in the house, it doesn't matter if it's cold for the purposes of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're older and or have a chronic or maybe even a unknown generalized health problem or a disease state, cold weather can bring that to light. It's a strange thing, but we see animals that the owner thought was fine until it turned cold, and now all of a sudden the belt slipped off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we can tell you why, other than the stress of being where it's cold made a difference.
Yeah, and lack of caloric input maybe too.
Well, it could if yeah. that's part of the issue.
Yeah.
It depends on what their problem is. So the real take-home message about that is that if you've got dogs that are outside, even if you think they're healthy and they're working dogs and it gets cold, you're going to have to pay a lot more attention to them because the cold weather may uncover something going on that you had no idea was there
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because we've seen that happen before. Another thing that I talked to y'all about before the program that I hadn't thought about until I heard this story was that cold weather results in animals that are outside, and sometimes animals that are outside that are there because they're unowned and that's just the only place mm-hmm. they can be, trying to find shelter
mm-hmm.
where it's not raining, not snowing, and maybe warmer, and they may end up in a building of yours
mm-hmm.
or in your house if they can get in there. And you not know it.
Yep.
Because that was a story I heard about this weekend that of a family that had a dead cat in one of their facilities mm-hmm. and really didn't realize it was there and it wasn't their cat.
Right.
Because what had happened was it had tried to find shelter because it was cold and got in a place that they hadn't checked
mm-hmm.
and ended up dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would say that's not as rare a story as it sounds like to us.
And only because it hasn't happened to us.
Only because that's a good way to put it. So I think it's important to be aware of what's going on with outbuildings you have. If there are a situation where there's an opening and the door can be closed and something get trapped in there, that could happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what you're going to do with animals, a whole other story. I'm just saying it's something to think about. That,
sure.
That in this type of weather,
mm-hmm.
although it's going to be warmer this week, but in colder weather in general, animals will seek places to go.
Right.
And shelter
mm-hmm.
out of rain and wind and all that kind of thing. And you might be the target and you don't even know you're the target. So cold weather.
Yeah. Walking an indoor dog in cold weather, what sort of protective precautions should we make? I mean, put a little coat on it or whatever, you know.
Boy, isn't that an open-ended deal?
It probably is.
You know, I think it's so individually dependent
uh-huh.
because some of those dogs are used to walking in cold weather and they don't care.
Uh-huh.
And then some of them don't want to go out when it's cold, so they do care.
Yeah, right.
But I think a lot of it depends on the individual dog. I mm-hmm. don't know that just mm-hmm. because of the cold, you have to necessarily change anything.
Okay.
But it's going to depend on the individual animal and whether there's a problem that you need to change something.
Okay,
for.
Right.
You know, some of them little skinny dogs that don't have any hair or fat could right there and get pretty cold, but some of those little skinny dogs have any hair or fat that way because they get out and run whether it's cold or not. I don't care. I'm right on the other end of the spectrum because I got a dog that's half Great Pyrenees and got tons of hair.
Oh, my gosh.
And she'll sit outside with 20 degrees and be happy as can be.
Of course.
She likes it.
I saw a video of a husky that fell asleep outside and was covered in snow. And the owner, kind of nudged it and was like,
Didn't realize anything was going on.
You see the dog teams at the Iditarod races too, you know, it's the same sort of thing. They sleep with the sled.
That's crazy.
Oh yeah, they'll curl up into a ball where you can barely tell
the
dog.
Oh yeah.
And if it snows over the top of them, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. If they've got enough calories, you know, all of the heat that mammals have is produced by their body.
Right.
Unless you've got an external heat source like heat from inside a building or a fire or a stove, putting on clothes doesn't provide heat. Your body provides the heat. All the clothes do is trap it.
Right.
So that's why it's so, and it's the same thing is true for dogs and cats. Their coat can help them, but their heat source is from eating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I made the point that if they're outside more, they need to eat more, but don't use that as an excuse to feed your dog more because you took it outside for 5 minutes. That's not what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
I'm talking about if they're spending an extended period of time outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This will be for another show if we discuss it at all, but it just occurred to me, and I think it'd be interest to our listeners too. Do dogs and cats, our pets, come down with flu?
Well, there is a canine influenza virus.
Right. Okay.
But you're talking about human influenza.
Well, just generally.
Can we give them any sneezes?
Yeah, maybe.
Not to my knowledge.
Maybe a respiratory thing in general, a respiratory problem.
Generally speaking, no.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I felt bad because I've just gotten over something and my little kitty cat, my big fat cat, was like,
oh no.
Oh, I'm sorry, baby.
Yeah, but cats like to do that, sneezing.
Yeah.
You know, sneezing sometimes rivals vomiting for a favorite pastime.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex's been sneezing a lot. I'm not waiting for the second shoe to drop, though.
I don't think that it'll ever pass vomiting, but it can run at a close second sometimes.
Gotcha.
Dr. Dean Baird, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. The clinic is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, except for major holidays. How do they get in touch, Dr. Dean?
You can call. We don't have anybody reading smoke signals right now.
So okay.
Just stick with the phone, and that's 282-3771.
That'll do it. Dr. Dean Baird, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. We'll talk to you next week.